education of our children doesn't begin and end at academia. There is a spiritual responsibility on each parent and teacher to nurture and train a young soul spiritually. This is called Chinuch. Join Rabbi G every Monday at 2 p.m. as he explores education and Chinuch for parents and teachers. Torah isn't education, it's transformation.
We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss education, we discuss therapy, we discuss anything that we can learn around the world that will give us the better life, help us influence our families, our communities, help us be the people we want to be in the world we want to be in. And we are today in the 8th day of Hanukkah. It's called Zois Hanukkah, a very holy day, and a very special day. And there's a lot to discuss. It was a very interesting Hanukkah. I don't know how yours was. And yes, we are having a, you know, kind of quiet, nice December holiday Hanukkah. At the same time, we are very intertwined and connected to our brothers and sisters all over the world. And we are hearing, we started the Hanukkah with horrifying news, as we all know, the horrible, horrible anti-Semitism and massacre that we had in Australia. It's been really rough. But then also we saw throughout the world many uncomfortable situations and violent situations from all over Europe and Turkey and in different places where people were attacked just by starting lighting Hanukkah lights and, you know, anything that we did to show the light and spread the light in many places were hit by quite a bit of resistance. And for that, we're going to have a discussion about that and our role in today's reality of life. We know that the Hanukkah started, and it started with lighting candles outside your house by the door. And then there was a time that our sages told, our rabbis told us to put it inside the house because of the danger. And since then, there was, you know, some of us do it by the window, some in the house, some outside. And maybe we need to look at today's reality and understand a bit more about our role and Hanukkah and just generally where we are as Jews in the world. So for that, I actually feel like we have the perfect people for the discussion, and I'm going to introduce our guest today. I'll start with our first guest. His name is Rabbi David Rosen. He was a senior rabbi in Cape Town, as well as the former chief rabbi of Ireland, and he is an interfaith peacemaker, and he is well-connected with the Christian world and with other faiths and knows a lot about the communication, but we'll hear from him. Good afternoon, Rabbi Rosen. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure.
So just if you could share with us a bit about you and your work, just for our listeners to know and to get more familiar with you.
Well, I'm actually now retired, so I'm an old man. And as you mentioned, some 50 years ago, I was rabbi of Sea Point in Cape Town, which were wonderful years. And I've been in charge of all the interfaith work around the world. I was in charge for a quarter of a century until 2 years ago. I still have a little advisory position at the Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi. It's the most amazing complex where there's a functioning shul, totally independent, of course, and a mosque and a church. Each house of worship is independent of one another. And actually, according to the charter of the complex, has to be Orthodox, but open also to other denominations. And there's a forum that connects these three places together for exhibits and for administration and for conferences. And thousands of people around the world visiting this complex. Most of the people that visit it probably have never, ever been in a shul, and they get to be able to see inside and to meet with a rabbi, who I was happy to help choose and find. And so my role is both to be able to give advice in Jewish matters, but also to be able to help with programming of an interfaith nature, multi-faith nature. But that's been somewhat limited since the war in Gaza, since the Hamas-Israel war. So that's been to something that hopefully will still take off. And aside from that, I'm a happy resident of Jerusalem. and be able to enjoy my children and grandchildren and enjoy Hanukkah.
Oh, wow. Amazing. I wish I looked so young with such a resume, and see what you've done. Yeah, we'll get to talk about the influence of the war, et cetera, and the relevance, and where the world has gone to. I do want to introduce first our second guest is Rabbi Yaakov Baruch. He is the rabbi of Shaar HaShamayim in Indonesia, which is a Muslim country. And to hear a bit more about your experience, good afternoon, Rabbi Yaakov. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, good afternoon, Rabbi G. It's a pleasure to be
Okay,
here.
so within the 10 years I've been doing this show, I think, Rabbi Baruch, this is your second time already. So just in case one of our listeners missed, maybe just introduce yourself, your role, life in Indonesia, etc., and then we'll start the discussion.
Yes, thank you. I'm a rabbi in Shaar HaShamayim Synagogue in Indonesia. My family have a background as a Dutch Jews. In Indonesia, I'm also active in interfaith activity to make our Jewish faith have the existence in the country that not recognize Judaism and not have a good relation with Israel as well. But I'm also active in interfaith activity in outside of Indonesia as well. I even just met Rabbi David Rosen last week in Lisbon. We have a conference in KSIT, International conference, and also we're talking about how to do the a religious dialogue to prevent any terror or on the bad things just happen, because it's very important that we involve in the interfaith, and this is I think it's a third time that I'm been interviewed by your radio, and it's very important I think now to works to bring a peace, because it's not we live in a not a good world right now.
Is dialogue even realistic? And the feeling in specifically in our community over the past 2 years is less and less. Well, South Africans were always very open to communication and dialogue and connection and wanting to be involved and interested. It almost feels like we're shipping away and kind of falling into this place and feeling that no, there's no dialogue. It's not happening. We're under attack. We need to defend ourselves. Are you extra optimistic or do you feel that's realistic?
Who are you asking?
Both of you, I was going to continue with the echo, but actually, you both can answer and need to answer that question.
Well,
Maybe Rabbi David, where you want to start? Go ahead.
I mean, first of all, we should acknowledge, let's just take now with a tragic attack now in Bondi. The reactions that have come from throughout the Christian world and the Muslim world have been quite impressive. I've got at least 12 different Muslim statements condemning the attack, expressing solidarity with the Jewish community. With the Christians, it's many more. Almost every single bishops' conference has issued a statement. So there is definitely more, there's more bad news than there is good news in the media. And that's both because media, by definition, is more likely to focus on the bad news. And that's because we want to feed off, in other words, what sells newspapers and what gets ratings is more the negative than the positive. But also because we live in a world in which, first of all, weapons and destructive tools are more accessible than ever before. And any, if you like, sort of small nutcase can do enormous amount of damage, let alone extremists and radicals of various kinds. And we're in a culture that's very much dumbed down. So people live in their own little echo chamber and they get essentially saturated with particular perspectives. They do not see the wider situation. The irony of the world in which we live is that even though there's more information, there's less knowledge. And as a result, people are easily manipulated, easily indoctrinated. And the situation isn't just a problem for Jews. The most persecuted religion in the world today is Christianity. And Christianity actually suffers persecution right across the world. And there are places where it's very uncomfortable to be a member of any kind of religion, which you look any kind of different, one way or another. Also, today, modern media enables us to get the information and get data that wasn't accessible before. So we can see all the darkness. Of course, what this season, especially Hanukkah, teaches us is that Just a little bit of light can chase away the darkness. And instead of cursing the light, what we have to do is to light candles as much as we can. And therefore, I agree that the situation is depressing, and we would have hoped that what we have achieved in this field might have been more supportive than the way we feel at the moment. But that's all the more reason to have to work harder in terms of what we do, not to be able to just sit and curse the darkness.
Okay. So quite a few more points and comments I want to add about that, but we do need to take our first live read and go into a break to hear from our advertisers. And when we come back, we will be continuing right on this topic, exactly the role and place that we are in right now and where we need to look at, addressing our challenges here.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 FM with Rabbi G. We are back, and if you're joining me now, we are in a very interesting, fascinating discussion. I'm here with Rabbi David Rosen, who is a British Israeli rabbi, who is interfaith peacemaker and former chief rabbi of Ireland, as well as very involved in, still today after he retired, in Abu Dhabi and the Abram campus over there of the different religions. And we are discussing what's happening in Hanukkah, as well as Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, who is Rabbi at Shaar Shamayim Synagogue in Indonesia. Right before the break, we spoke about the realistic approach of dialogue. And there was then mentioned very interestingly that even after the last attack in Bondi, you have gotten, just from the Muslim community, 12 letters and messages of support from communities, which is
public declarations, not just letters.
Correct. Yeah. And yet, it's a small light, amount of light, but it's light, and we can't ignore that, and we should increase and see. So there's room for that. Rabbi Baruch, from your side, have you got any feedback as living in a Muslim country and, having your community over there?
Yes. Just as Rabbi David Rosen said earlier, that this really makes other parties like the Christian community, Muslim community, show their sympathize and show their sympathy to the support for the Jewish community over the world, including in Indonesia. As we experienced yesterday when we celebrate the 8th night of Hanukkah or Sot Hanukkah, we have the presence of the interfaith community, especially from the Muslim, Christian, Baha'is. They came, they not only taking part to the lighting the menorah, but we also start with a joint prayer together, and they pray for the victim of the Bondi Beach terror attack victims as well. And it's very touching to see how they support, they show it, and because in Indonesia, it's not easy to show the support like this, because many people know that Indonesia is against Jews, Israel, but by coming and show their support in our Hanukkah event, it showed the message that we have a good future for the religious dialogue like this. And as we know that there's a hero, Mr. Ahmed, who become now the hero for everyone, not only for the Jewish people, but for the non-Jewish community as well, like the Muslims. They show that this has nothing to do with a religion, So it's a very good sample for Indonesian Muslim community that you can choose either become like a radical, like a shooter, or you want to become a true good Islamic ambassador like the Mr. Ahmed,
Yeah. I have to say, I was quite surprised, and maybe it's just my ignorance, and probably is my ignorance, but I was a bit surprised that I did not see or come across any of criticism towards him from the Muslim community. Are you not hearing me?
Now you come back. Internet connection was unstable.
Okay. So I'm just saying that from my side, I was it probably is my ignorance, but as I said, I was a bit surprised that I didn't hear any condemns from the Muslim community to Mr. Ahmed. Almost. Yes, you would expect that there would be potentially someone who says, hey, why'd you get interfere? Why'd you get involved? It's not your job or whatever it is. So that was a nice pleasant surprise. Hopefully we'll stay that way. And yet, before we go into the individuals concept that Rabbi Rosen brought up, which I think is a very important topic, because the individuals today have a lot of power, and you know they can, as well as the world is going to a bit of a radical space in all directions when we look at social media and look at what's happening around the world. But what I find interesting is that it seems to be, and Rabbi Rosen is someone who's well connected with the Christian community and Christian world, it seems that there is a bit of a gap between what their communities and the Christian world is presenting and between the governments. And while growing up in the past, potentially there was much more of a tie, we're not seeing that much support from governments in Europe, potentially, or in other countries that are in that space of almost like a Muslim takeover, that are standing strong as much as we're seeing from the Christian communities. And my question is there a gap happening over there between the people and the community, between the governments and the community, that is something that we need to worry about or address?
There's no cookie cutter here. If to address your question, we've got to break it down geographically, and you've got to talk specifically about certainly continents and even more specifically about countries. And if you talk about Latin America, so the relationship between religion and politics is very close. And there are places where the church is still a dominant factor. If you talk about Northwestern Europe, then religion is definitely on the back burner for the vast majority. And there it has very little influence.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, first of all, the bishops' conferences in places like France and Hungary and right and many places of Europe, but especially which places where there have been particular difficulties for the Jewish community, the Catholic bishops' conference in particular, but also Protestant organizations as well, has stood very strongly behind the Jewish community. Is it true to say that the political authorities have not? I'm not sure. I think in most places where there have been attacks, the political leadership has been very forthright. Has security been adequate? Often not. These times are testing times, and we'll see in the months and years ahead whether governments have taken adequate steps in order to be able to protect the respective communities that are threatened. But I don't see any government supporting anti-Semitic action. On the contrary, I see almost every single government, even those that I don't particularly like personally, taking stands very strongly against it.
To a point. I mean, I agree when it comes to direct violence, yes, 100%. But when there's been, for the past 2 years, even in Australia, big talk about the government not standing up with anti-Semitism, and a lot happening, coming. And I don't want to go into a political discussion, but we are seeing...
I think South Africa is a particularly bad...
Correct.
I mean, good or bad, whichever argument is saying, is a sui generis example.
100%. 100%. Which is, in a way, a concern.
Yeah, if I was in South Africa, I mean, obviously, and I am, because South Africa is dear to my heart, I am concerned, and I do care for the situation. I've got a family also in South Africa, but the community was very, as I say, historically for me, it was a very special community. So I'm worried for it, and there are other places where there's reason for worry. I must also add again what I said at the beginning, that obviously while I care first and foremost about the Jewish community and its well-being, it's not the only community that's under threat and siege of various kinds. And it's got more to do with the times in which we live than anything else.
Right. So seeing that reality that we have, and you know, this is a show we're talking to the people, and I'm wondering on a individual level, as a community member, are there steps or things that you recommend to the ordinary person to get involved in, to be aware of, to create some kind of connection or strengthen the relationship to create safety?
Absolutely. First and foremost, obviously, we have to be reactive. And we have to make sure there's effective defense and effective security. and there should be collaboration with the security forces and intelligence to ensure that to the degree that we're able to, we prevent bad people from being able to do bad things. But it's not enough simply to be a reactive. You know, of course, very well that Chazal point out that the only mitzvah in the Torah that we are told to seek and pursue is the mitzvah of peace. And the Chazal say, seek it in one place and pursue it in another. In other words, you've got to go out of your way to be proactive and not purely reactive, because people have all kinds of perceptions and misperceptions and stereotypes. And that's why relations between different religious communities and different ethnic communities is so important. It's also a matter of Kiddush Hashem. If people have negative perceptions of us, that's a Chilul Hashem. We need to give them positive perceptions of us. Therefore, we need to reach out. So even the average ordinary person can still find ways of being able to have community collaboration and cooperation. It can be through professional associations, it can be business groups, it can even be housewives, and it can be various forms in which you can get people together to meet people who are different from you. Isolating yourself in a total ghetto and not having contact with other people does not serve the interests of the well-being within a modern society. We need to have a relationship. We need to be able to protect ourselves. We need to deepen our own roots. We need to be internally strong. But we have to reach out, not only because that's the right thing to do, but it's actually the best thing for us to do.
So being proactive, and that actually is something that, you know, is not always seen, specifically in our area of being proactive when it comes to reaching out and connecting. Is there a risk, and maybe Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, from your side as living in a Muslim place, is there any risk or anything that we should be aware of before we become proactive, or no, you support that and let's go and reach out and be there?
Right. You know, the country that I live in, people know as the biggest Muslim population country in the world. And now there is a Pakistan who's take over the claim. But there is always anti-Israel rally in Jakarta, in other city. But I can guarantee to you, it's always safe for me to walk in with kippah and tzitzit in public, in Jakarta, in everywhere. And I even sometimes I'm surprised I met a Muslim conservative come to me and told me, Rabbi Yaakov, we saw you in YouTube about your podcast, about the peace, interfaith activity, we very supported. So this is totally different what I feel last year when I visit America. I walk in, you know, I walk in Manhattan, I were in kippah in New York, I not feel safe, I tell you honestly. So this is quite anomaly, it's quite funny. But in Indonesia, I can walk in safe. We can do the event, you know, in our synagogue, involve the Christian Muslim community without. We the only, I know this is not good things, but I think we the only synagogue didn't have a security at all in over the world since before and after 7 October. Baruch Hashem, we don't have any attacks, you know. But there is a police, there's people who come to watch over from outside, from the far, not inside the compound, the complex. But I can show it to you. This is the, sometimes like Rabbi David Rosen said, we cannot make it ourselves out from the public. We need to come to them, talk with them. Otherwise, the anti-Semitism or the prejudice will become very worse, you know. They were thinking that the Jews
doing very interesting what you're saying.
Yeah, very.
I didn't predict that you'll be. Sorry, no, 100%. And I didn't predict that you'll be the only shul without security. Although I have to say that, you know, the last 2 weeks I was in Abu Dhabi and it felt very safe and very comfortable. I mean, the same thing. I was dressed exactly the same like I dressed in South Africa in Abu Dhabi, and I didn't feel any worry or concern whatsoever. And yes, there are places in Europe that it does feel a bit less comfortable. And my question is, are we doing something wrong in the West? Or maybe the phrase should be, what are we doing wrong when it comes to our part as a Jewish community in Western cultures that we don't have the same comfortable and safety that we would have in Abu Dhabi or in Indonesia or in countries like that?
Yeah, it's like Rabbi David Rosen said, we need to do the the Kiddush Hashem, to fight all the Chilul Hashem, all the Lashon Hara against our people, you know. So if we are already doing our part, we believe we have emunah to Hashem, you know. He will protect us, you know. But it's quite, sometimes it's funny that in Europe, in America, I not feel comfortable to walking with kippah. I even need to hide my kippah, I tell you honestly. But in Indonesia, I can walking around, I go to the mosque with kippah, people will. So I think the people, is it true that said people hate everything they didn't understand? So we need to do the dialogue. Through the dialogue, we can introduce them what is Judaism, you know. This is the way to fighting anti-Semitism in this country, and I think in the outside as well.
Rabbi Rosen, your thoughts about the difference between the Western world and the...
So, well, the United Arab Emirates, Abu Dhabi, is an example of where you is, of course, able to guarantee absolute security to a large degree, even though, of course, there was a tragic killing of Rabbi Kagan and Chabad Shaliach. But that, of course, was done by mercenaries who were paid by Iran. But even then, it was actually a serious breach of UAE security. But other than that, there have been no attacks on Jews. And the and it's an extremely secure place. In fact, almost every year, Abu Dhabi rates amongst one of the three securest country cities in the world. But it's easy to do, relatively speaking, when you have a central authority, if not authoritarian regime, where you are therefore able to control the security forces effectively. And the problem, paradoxically, is more within democracies, where there is therefore greater freedom of expression and greater freedom of movement and activity. And this remains a challenge. We are always going to have to live with this challenge. Democratic society is always going to face challenges because its virtue and its opportunity brings with it greater risks. And our world is never going to be the same. We have to be alert. We have to be aware of what's going on around us. But we have to build up these alliances and discover the reality that the vast majority of people are good people. The vast majority of leaders of different religious communities are good people, and they want to live amicably and responsibly with us. And it's our responsibility to help them to do so.
Okay. Well, we have to take a break. When we come back from the break, Rosen, what I'd love to hear from you is what you're saying. It sounds very logical, very clear, that it's almost becoming less safe, or maybe it is already less safe for Jewish communities living under democracies than under authoritarian countries. Yet we are seeing thriving Jewish communities and democracies, and we're not really seeing, unless I'm mistaken, huge, strong Jewish communities in authoritarian countries. And I'm wondering if you're predicting that we're going to see a shift in that regard, or if potentially there's a different reason that there isn't a lot of thriving communities there, or where are we going as a Jewish community in that regard? Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue this discussion.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chatham Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G. We are back, and I'm here in a fascinating discussion with Rabbi David Rosen and Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, who are both leaders and rabbis in the area of, even specifically in communicating with other nations, other religions, other ethnicities, very involved in that world, as well as being respected rabbis. And right before the break, I asked Rabbi Zain about the reality that we see that there are more thriving Jewish strong communities under democracies than under authoritarian countries. And are we predicted to see a shift, or is there another part of the reality of why we're seeing it this way? How do you view it?
It's part of the complexity, as we said, is the nature of modern society and the opportunity and freedoms of modern democracy, which come at a price. And therefore, very often you see authoritarianism as a reaction against democracy and against those particular freedoms. But Jews, by definition, do better in democracy. Jews will do better, generally speaking, where there is that, where are those freedoms. However, there are examples where it's not the case. Even though the Moroccan Jewish community is very small today, the Moroccan Jewish community actually lives well and is protected by the king, and it's a monarchy. We would be referred to before to the UAE. And while the events of the last 2 years of the Hamas-Israel war have had a stultifying effect on Jewish life, before that, Jewish life was growing by leaps and bounds. And they had actually six different communities operating in Dubai. And even though these now have had to limit their activities, for Rosh Hashanah, for example, in the Abu Dhabi synagogue, in that complex, in the Abrahamic family complex, you had 150 people come for Rosh Hashanah dinner. And so what is driving these people to go there? In the end, it's not whether it's democracy or authoritarianism. It's a place which is economically attractive. And in the end, immigrants go to places which are economically attractive, almost regardless of what the sociological and political reality is. So where there is economic opportunity, that's where Jews will go.
Although it does feel that today's safety would be a factor as well, considering what we're looking at. You mentioned...
Let me just hazard something that sounds really wild. If things really settle down here politically and Saudi Arabia establishes relations with Israel as it would like to do, you will see a growing Jewish community in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I could, based on what I'm hearing from the Emirates and things, it sounds like a realistic situation. Yet you are saying that the last 2 years, it has been a bit harder. There were some limitations needed. What kind of limitations were expected, and in what way is it becoming difficult?
Are you asking about the UAE?
Yes.
So in the UAE, sort of the UAE is a federation of, I think, seven Emirate states, and the situation in Abu Dhabi was easier than it was in Dubai in terms of the administration. So the synagogue in Abu Dhabi is actually a state synagogue. It was built by the state for the Jewish community. It's an amazing thing. It's the only place in the world, I think, where a government has built a shul for a Jewish community, where you can't be a member of the shul and you can't make a donation because it's owned by the government. The government covers the kiddush and Shabbat morning for the Jewish community there. So that's an incredible situation. But in Dubai, that's not the same situation. In Dubai, there are many more Jews, probably at least 2,000 Jews. And their synagogues, which were themselves somewhat makeshift, but nevertheless, their synagogues were not allowed to function by the government in Dubai because of security concerns. Now things are slowly returning back to normal. Restaurants were also closed. Now restaurants, kosher restaurants, are now reopening again. So slowly things are getting back to normal. The more things calm down here in Israel, and in relations with our neighbors, the easier it will be for them there. But it's definitely been a damper. There's been people-to-people continuous contact, but nevertheless, I would say there's been discomfort in the Jewish community, and whereas people were walking around, and still one or two of us, you and I, we might still walk around with our kippah, with our yarmulke on, most people who had been doing so were no longer doing so and were wearing hats rather than kippot, and were being more cautious. And generally, institutions where they had Jewish employees and were aware of them were encouraging them to be more cautious. And their fear primarily, as was justified by the killing of Rabbi Kagan, where fear more was for outside elements that would seek to attack Jews rather than it being Emiratis themselves. Remember, in the Emirates, only 10% are actually homeborn. 90% are expatriates. They are either not just in service areas, but also doctors and lawyers and entrepreneurs. So this is a very multicultural society, and the vast majority of people do not have prejudice and bigotry that you might find in other societies.
Which risks? In Indonesia, what's the reality? How's the community managing since October 7th?
Yeah, like I always said, after 7 October, we tried to we rebuild the bridge that already fell down because of the trust issue, even among the interfaith organization member between the Jews and the Muslim community. But now we just want to do We want to start like a secret synagogue in Jakarta. I'm working with Rabbi from Jerusalem to serving the businessman, the expatriate who came to Jakarta. But the important thing is now how to make in touch with the government first to make sure for the security. Because in Jakarta, it's another part of Indonesia that it's a capital actually, but there's many people from Rabbi David Rosen was in Jakarta many times, so you understand what I'm talking about. But we hope there is. I'm afraid in the future, as for Khalilah, the Jews will leave America and Europe and move to South America, Asia, or Middle East. I think.
Or Israel, you know, that's an option.
Yeah,
as
of
well.
Course, of course, Israel.
Interesting, because the talk in Israel many times is that the Indonesia government and Israel government are in better terms than they used to be in the past. But you're saying it's not necessarily reflecting. Okay, so we do need to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll start wrapping up today's show. We will be right back.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.95 Rabbi G. We are back, and we're towards the end of a very interesting, fascinating discussion. I'm here with Rabbi David Rosen, who is a British Israeli rabbi and interfaith peacemaker and former chief rabbi of Ireland, as well as Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, who is a rabbi at Shaar Shamaim Synagogue in Indonesia. And as we wrap up this hour, I want to ask both rabbis the same question. And the question is, I'll start with you, Rabbi Rosen. What do you wish and hope that we know as the Jewish community or do different for a better future and a better integration, connection, or just better life?
Well, I hope, of course, for the complete redemption in our world, and therefore we will live in a very different reality. So, and I pray for it like every Orthodox Jew does day on a daily basis. I would like, it's very difficult for me. First of all, allow me just to correct you. It's very kind of you to call me a peacemaker. I'm not sure that I've actually made peace anywhere. I do try my best to contribute and a peace pursuer. What's really interesting, things improved in South Africa. After I left Ireland, things improved in Ireland. There's now an attempt to try to get me out of Jerusalem in the hope that things will improve here. And maybe that way I'll be a peacemaker. But at any rate, still seriously, to get back to your question, I would like people to understand that to be authentically Jewish is both to be particular and universal. That not one at the expense of the other. As important as it is to learn Torah and to live according to a Jewish life and to deepen our roots, we must not live in isolation of the world around us. It is our responsibility to relate to the world around us. L'kadeshem shamayim le'inei agoyim, to sanctify God's name before the nations of the world, which means necessary social action within the communities in which we live and to build good relationships with other particular communities. That, of course, must not be at the expense of deepening our Jewish roots and our particularism. But the particular and the universal must live creatively together.
Amazing. And President, we'll get there. I allow myself to call you a peacemaker because lo alecha melacha ligmor, but you're definitely keeping the emet harashai v'yipater mimena, so, or ben holin. So I think that's working well. Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, from your side, what do you wish and hope that we know as a Jewish people for a better future?
My personal hope for the future of the Jewish community is include the continued struggle for security and identity, you know, spiritual and cultural growth in Israel as it is a center, you know, and a positive contribution to the world peace. Because we agree while we continuing to confront the challenges of anti-Semitism and seeking the fulfill of the messianic vision of the universal happiness and knowledge, this community is expected to maintain a resilience, you know, strengthened and its connection to our historical roots, live in harmony, even in political and social challenge to persist. To become united is very important in this difficult situation. And to fighting this anti-Semitism, we need to involve in multi-phase approach, center of education, you know, interfaith dialogue, and whole of society commitment to promoting tolerance and diversity. That's what I hope.
Amazing. Amazing. Please God, we will get there. So I just want to thank you both for taking these special days of Hanukkah, as is Hanukkah, and taking from your time to speak to me and to speak to our listeners, to speak to us as a community. Really, really means a lot. So thank you so much to Rabbi David Rosen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Yaakov Baruch. It's been a very interesting and important discussion. Thank you so much to Sena for putting his interviews in place. Thank you so much to Craig for managing the show perfectly. And thank you to our listeners that you are with us week after week, Monday, 2 to 3, every time with a different topic, a different discussion. And enjoy your holiday, enjoy your break, and stay tuned for other great shows in the meantime. And we will be back with you Monday, 2 to 3 next week, and hopefully with a better news, better week, better time, and just hope and thrive for the best.